If you want to turn your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy. You can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be in a lot of different scriptures. If you want to turn along, you can, but we'll be there primarily for a good part of this. We're going to actually finish up today. We'll finish up a part of this series, and then we'll move to the next phase of this. This has turned into I thought it would be a couple of weeks. It's turned into, I don't know, we're 4 or 5 weeks in now, and we've still got a couple, 3, 4 more weeks, maybe, just depending on how that falls out. But we'll see. As we're talking about the topic of big church, little church. Y'all remember me saying that, right? Big church, little church. So big church is Big C Church. That's the universal church made up of all believers. And then little church, little C church, is the local church made up of believers in a local area. And we've defined what makes a church a local New Testament church. We've looked at the topic of whether church membership is scriptural or not. Last week, we looked at the roles in the local New Testament church, beginning with members, that in a local church, you're going to have members as a whole, and we're going to get to the roles of members, the responsibilities that we'll begin next week, really looking deeper into the responsibilities that come with membership, with being a member of a church. And then we looked at the two, we introduced to the two offices within a church that most churches recognize, the office of deacons and then the office of pastor elder. And so we looked at membership last week, or members, and then we looked at the office of deacon. And so this week we're going to look at that office or the role of pastor elder. So let's pray. Father, I just pray now as what a wonderful morning we've had already as we've recognized our fathers. What a blessing they are. In their own homes, but what a blessing they are in our fellowship here, and they bring so much to the table. God, I pray you bless our fathers, and Lord, each one, and they're in a different, every one of us are in a different stage in life with our families, different, just at a different place, and Lord, I pray for each one, though, wherever they're at, if they've got little kids in the home, or if they're raising great, great grandchildren and impacting them, God, give us wisdom for the role we have, for the responsibilities we have. Help us, Lord, to be a witness and to have a great testimony for you in their lives. Bless these men, Lord. Help them to grow. Help them to lead in their homes spiritually, to lead on their jobs spiritually, and lead in this fellowship spiritually. God, would you bless them in a very special way? And we'll thank you for that. Thank you for this day that we have to recognize them. Now, Lord, as we look to your word and we talk about this topic of pastor elder, I pray, God, you'll bless the just bless this time. God, give me clarity in thought and speech, and use this for your glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we talk about pastoral responsibilities. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says this, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And so you can see right there, we see from the very beginning of this, from that verse, that there is a connection between the responsibilities. There's a picture of this. There's a correspondence to this. There's a comparison of being a father in the home and leading in the home. And we could do a whole study on that, of the responsibilities of the husband in the home and the responsibilities of the father in the home and the order of responsibility within the home. And it's not that the man is above the wife, but there are different responsibilities. There's different authority. There's different things that come with that. And so if a man can't rule in his own home, how can he take care of the church of God? And so there's this, we see this picture then, that some of those same responsibilities and all. And I find it very interesting, and I didn't coordinate it this way, but it's interesting to me that this passage that we're teaching today, and this study we're teaching, talking about pastor elder, falls on Father's Day. Because there's such a correspondence between the two. The Holy Spirit compares leadership in the local church with leading a household. And the roles and responsibilities that we see for the husband, father in the home, we see in the roles and responsibility of pastors and elders in the local church community. Now, first thing we want to look at is this. The church is called the flock of God. 1 Peter, if you want to turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, Verse 2 says, shepherd the flock of God. So what are pastor elders, what are they leading as we just began this? The church then is called the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And it's also called, so the church is also called the church of God. Acts 20:28, I'll read this. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, there's that word again, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, Jesus is the head of the church. So we see that the church is the flock of God. It is the church of God. And Jesus is the head of the church, and he is the chief shepherd. So here's the deal. When you're talking about the church, and you know, inevitably you get into these struggles of who's in charge, who's the authority in the church, well, he's in charge. Jesus is in charge. He's in charge of the church. The church belongs to him. He owns it. He bought her with his own blood. So it is Christ who we are accountable to. And Jesus oversees his church. Jesus guides us through the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us through his word. Amen? The Holy Spirit guides us. The word of God instructs us. He speaks to us through his word. He guides us with the Holy Spirit. So churches are ultimately accountable to Jesus. So again, Christ is the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the owner and ultimate protector of the flock. He laid down his life for the sheep. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. He tells us this. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he did that. He laid down his life for the sheep. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He's the chief shepherd. He's in charge. He's the boss. He is the leader. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we see that Christ is the chief shepherd, but the elders are under shepherds of the Lord. So if you've ever heard that phrase, under shepherd? How many of you have never heard that phrase? Raise your hand. Okay, so there's this understanding that Jesus is the chief shepherd. So when you're talking about leadership in a church, and there has to be leadership, and God has ordained that leadership, and that's what we're talking about today in pastors, elders. And that's the leadership of the church. That's the model God has established. But they're not the ultimate authority. They're under shepherds of the Lord. He's the chief shepherd. He's over all. And then within that church body, the shepherds, the under shepherd then, under the Lord, are the elders and the pastor. Okay, so elders are under shepherds of the Lord. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, it's interesting, in those two verses right there, we really get the three main words that we use when we're talking about pastor, elder, shepherd, bishop, overseer, all of that. We see them. We see in verse 1, the elders. You got the word elders. Verse 2, you see the word shepherd, begins with shepherd. Shepherd the flock. Which the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. We see a third word right there, and we'll talk more about those words. But we see right there, there's a clear, and those words are interchangeable. They're really, when you go from one to the other, and you can see clearly that the Holy Spirit is talking about the same positions in the church, the same leadership in the church. So the church rightly belongs to Christ, and he has all the authority over it. Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Whose church is it? It's the Lord's church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So this is just and true. This is just as true of the local church as it is the universal body of Christ. That Christ is the head. We're the local body. Okay. There's the local body. There are under shepherds who lead the local body. They're under the authority of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's blueprint for building his church includes using men in the office of pastor elder. Now, the pastor is first an elder, and along with other elders is responsible to do the following. So we're going to talk about the roles then of pastor elder. So number one, oversee the church. Again, 1 Peter 5:1, the elders who are among you. The elders, that word elder there is the word presbyteros. Presbyteros, and it's a New Testament Greek word that translates to, it really means this. It's not very complimentary to us as pastor elders, but it translates elder or older. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean old in age. So to be an elder doesn't mean old in age, but we'll understand when we talk about the requirements for elder that it can't be someone who's novice. So we see that. So the description then is not necessarily age as much as it is maturity. It's about maturity. It's about the person, where are they in their faith? Where are they in that walk? So it is the root of the English word presbyter. And in early Christianity, that word was an appointed office bearer who exercised teaching, priestly and administrative functions, originally used interchangeably with the word bishop. So we're going to look at the next verse we're going to look at here. So you see verse 1 Peter 5:1, the elders who are among you. Then 1 Peter 3:1 says this, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, there's that word, presbyter, it's the same word, elder, bishop, it's the same word there. He desires a good work. So the primary meaning of that word bishop is overseer, okay? And so it's the same word we find in 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Okay, so when 1 Timothy 3:1 says this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, if he desires that position, then in 1 Peter 5:2 says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. It's the same word. It's the same idea there. Bishop and overseers, the same word. And it's the word episkopos. And so what that word means is a superintendent. For example, Christian officer in charge of a or the church, literally or figuratively, and it means bishop, overseer, means to oversee. By implication, it means to beware. So to beware, it's to be watchful of what's going on, to look diligently, to take the oversight. So you get the idea here, someone who, this position of bishop or overseer, there's oversight of the local New Testament church. They have oversight of that. They're looking out for the church. They're leading the church. They're providing this leadership and oversight, okay? So the general oversight of the ministry and operation of the church is the responsibility of the pastor and other elders. This would include the handling of finances within the church. Acts chapter 11, verse 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the elders in the church, as those funds came in, a gift from another area, it came into them, the elders would have overseen those funds as well. So we get a picture there of the oversight and the extent to where the elders, pastor, elder, these bishops, overseers, the responsibility they had. So number one, their job is to oversee the church. Number two, they're to rule over the church. Now, it may be the same thing, and it may be semantics, but let's look a little bit at this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders, it's the word presbyteros, who rule well. So it says there, so the elders, the presbyteros, those who are the overseers who rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So the word translated rule there, so let the elders who rule. That word rule literally means to stand before, to preside, to be over. So I'm not trying to I'm not trying to convince you this morning that pastor elders are in charge, but the scriptures are clear in that the pastor elders have oversight, have responsibility for, to shepherd, to overlook, to look out for the benefit of, to rule over, and we're going to look at more what the rule means, okay? So they have the responsibility, let me say responsibility, let me say authority, that would be a word, let me say burden. Sometimes people don't think of it that way. The burden of leadership. I don't know how many of you stay up awake at night sometimes in prayer about the church and things going on within the church. I would imagine Pastor Aaron's awake at night sometimes. He wakes up in the middle of the night and he's praying for the church. I bet Brother John is awake at night thinking about things within the church. His heart's burdened for the church. And we have the responsibility of being responsible for the church. Get a picture of the home, men. Amen? So there's responsibility. There's authority. There's this responsibility of overseeing and being responsible and being accountable for the local church, for the home. So men, I'd encourage you this morning, fathers, pray. When you think of it that way, pray for your pastor and the elders. Pray for us. Pray for us. This is not a light burden. Now, when I talk about a burden, I don't worry about little problems in the church or whatever, or how, you know what I've learned in 8 years? It doesn't matter what I do. Some people are going to like it and some aren't going to like it. I've learned that. And people are not going to agree with you on everything. They're not going to agree with you on everything. There are things you're going to say and people are going to go, oh, I can't believe he said that. Well, we don't have to agree on everything. There's fundamental doctrines that absolutely we have to be in agreement on. And even then, we can be very loving in our disagreement. But look, if you got an issue, talk about it. Talk about it. But, man, y'all haven't made it hard on me. Y'all been a relatively easy group to shepherd. It's been a joy. When I talk about being 8+ years here, it doesn't seem like 8+ years. I know pastors that are in churches 6 months and it feels like 5 minutes underwater. Yeah. And guys that every Monday, they're ready to quit. You know, every Monday they're considering, do I need to do it? And if you see the statistics in America today, there's a huge number of pastors who are looking to get out of it. Because of the burden that people put on them. Not burdens of the church. It's just burdens that people put on them. Just they're difficult. They want to gripe about everything and complain about everything and fight about everything. Y'all have not done that. Y'all have been an easy people to shepherd. And you love the Lord. I believe that. And you love us as your leadership. And we're grateful for that. So it's been a great time. But there is a burden. And when I talk about that burden, there is a burden that we bear. The word rule here, when it talks about ruling, it's not just, man, I rule this church, I rule over this church. It's not that. So the word rule is the root word for ruler, and it's the idea of a measuring stick or a standard that we hold up. So elders hold Scripture forth in that sense, that it's that the rule or lead God's children with the standard of the Word of God. This is the ruler which we hold up. And this is what we're ruling by. We're ruling by the Word of God. I was sharing with someone this week, and I was just telling about some of the things that sometimes we have to confront. And they were like, man, that's amazing, because we've been in churches where pastors wouldn't confront that. Wouldn't confront people living together and confront that's sin. Confront the people listen, you know, we're very quick to point our finger at the transgender community. We're very quick to point our finger in judgment of the homosexual community. But we're not so quick to point our finger at the adulterous and the fornicating community that's within our own church sometimes. And we've got to be very loving. And we can't say anything. We might hurt their feelings. Well, the Bible says speak the truth in love. And we speak truth because we do love. If you're going the wrong way on the interstate, oh, I shouldn't say anything. Shouldn't say anything. I might offend them. No, why would you say something? Because they're going the wrong way. They're going to hurt themselves. They are hurting themselves. Or they're going to hurt someone else. And so we speak the truth in love, from a place of love. I'm thoroughly convinced that speaking the truth in love isn't go to someone and just, you know, just be all sappy. Because I just love you so much. You can do that. But that's not, I don't think, the heart of what that's talking about. You come from a place of love. Now, it doesn't say speak the truth as a grump or speak the truth as a jerk or speak the truth in a hateful way. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go the other way either. But the key to that is we do it from a place of love. And people say, well, I don't confront sin because, you know, I love them and I want to win them to the Lord by loving them. But you're not helping them. You tell me you love someone, but you won't confront the wrong in their life that's hurting them spiritually. How can we say we love people when we don't deal with the spiritual truths? Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is what we do, and it's what we should all do, right? We should hold up the truth of Scripture and help people to understand, listen, here's what the Bible says. Here's why what you're doing is not right. Now, it doesn't affect me. I'll go home and I'm going to sleep tonight. It doesn't hurt my family. It's not hurting my family. It's hurting you and your walk with God. And if you think you're right with God, walking in open sin, all you've done is deceived yourself. Amen? And then you're telling everybody you're a Christian. Now you're hurting your testimony. And now you're hurting the testimony of Christians out in the community. You're bringing a reproach upon the Lord. So the community goes, well, that's what being a Christian's about. I don't want any part of it. You see why it's important that we deal with truth? It's why we deal with truth. It's why we deal with the Scriptures. And that's the burden that we as pastor elders, we bear that. But I would say that all of us as believers bear that burden. We're all to walk out our faith according to the Word of God. We should be speaking the truth in love, all of us. Number three, we're to feed the church. Pastor elders are to feed the church. First Peter 5:2 again, that verse says shepherd now. We've gone over that word a couple of times. Shepherd the flock of God. We already saw that, the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. It's a flock. A flock needs a shepherd, right? That's God's word. It's what he says, that the church is the flock of God. And now he's telling these elders from verse 1, he says, now shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Okay? So literally that word, the word, when we talk about pastor, the word pastor means shepherd. It's really the idea. When you talk about a pastor, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about a shepherd. You're talking about elders. Pastors are shepherds. Elders are shepherds. We're shepherding the flock. We're overseeing. We're shepherding the flock of God. And that word shepherd, again, is poimaino. And it means to tend as a shepherd or figuratively supervise. To feed, as in cattle. To rule. Again, the idea of leading, ruling, feeding, providing for, caring for, guiding, directing. All of those ideas come in under this idea of pastor shepherding. So the pastor elders have a duty to feed the flock with God's word and to lead them in the proper way. That's our role, is to feed the Word of God. You know, our church is seeing phenomenal growth. I was talking last night with Pastor Eric Stitz at First Baptist Daytona. They have a huge church. Huge. They have more. We were on our way to Togo, and they have the same church program that we have. So they can pull up. He can pull up statistics pretty easy. And so we were talking about how many people were in his children's department. And I think in their, I'm just going to use an example because I don't remember. I think in like their 3 and 4 year old girls, in that dynamic, 3 and 4 year old girls, they had more 3 and 4 year old girls in their church than we have people in our church. I mean, that's how big. Their church is big. It's big. But I was telling him last night, we were talking about some things, and I was telling him about just what God's been doing and how we've had almost 50 people join in 6 months now. And he was just blown away with that. It's for a church our size. That's just crazy, phenomenal growth. And you don't know why that is, right? It's because I'm such a great preacher. No. And I'm glad Kevin ain't back there, and I'm glad we're not live streaming, because he'd be clipping that, you know. He'd be clipping it and sending it to me later. No. We know. I don't have to tell y'all. The church isn't growing because of a dynamic pastor. You don't have Adrian Rogers pastoring your church. You know, what you have is men who lead this church who believe in the Word of God. We're going to teach the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to hold true to the Word of God. It's a church of prayer. You believe in the power of prayer. We see that in our prayer services. We see it in our men's prayer band. And I believe that prayer is the boiler room for our church's growth. We don't have here's what we don't have. Now, our dynamics are, I'm just looking around. Our dynamics are strange because we're in Geneva, right? So when you say, does our church look like our community? I think it does. When you look at our community, it's like 97-98% white. So I would love for our church to have more color. But here's what I know. If someone black comes in our community, or someone of any other ethnicity comes in our church, you're going to love them, you're going to welcome them. Listen, I wouldn't pastor you if you were a racist bunch. Miss Melinda, you were in that meeting. You remember the conversations we had when they were interviewing me? Because I asked them, I was working with FCA. And I said, what if I bring some black boys from the football team to church? How are they going to be received? And they're like, man, we're going to love them. We'd love that. And so that's important, because I don't believe God will bless a racist church. I don't believe He'll bless that at all. And so I believe the reason we're growing is we're staying faithful to the Word of God. I told somebody the other day, I said, I feel like I'm just skiing. Anybody ever been water skiing? You just hold on, right? I know we're just trying to hold on and not fall off the rope, you know. I've tried water skiing twice, and 50% of that I ended up with a bloody nose where I pulled wrong or something. So I didn't water ski well, so I'm trying to hang on. And just, Lord, lead us. Because my place is not driving the boat. It ain't in front of the boat. It's not even to be in the boat. I want to follow whatever you want us to do, and that's what we're trying to do. And I see God blessing, and so we want to stay true to what God has called us to do with the Word of God. Amen? So whose flock is it? Well, it's God's flock. He purchased it with His own blood. So there's also the huge responsibility of stewardship of His flock. Titus 1:7 says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Now, steward, the word steward means, I'm going to read you the definition, a house distributor, or i.e. a manager or overseer, i.e. an employee in that capacity. By extension, a fiscal agent or treasurer. Figuratively, it means to steward is a preacher of the gospel, a governor or steward. So we have a responsibility. So the bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, a representative of God, who is responsible for the resources that God has given. So pastors and elders are stewards of God, and they are answerable to God for their leadership in the church. 1 Peter 5:3 contains a wonderful description of a balanced pastoral elder ministry. Verse 3 says, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, there are churches that, listen, you can get, there are Baptist churches that function, I would say it, they function almost like the Catholic Church, in that they view the pastor like the Pope, and no matter what he says, it's the truth. And that's just not the case. Look, if I say it, make sure it's right in the Word of God. And if I'm wrong according to the Word of God, I have no problem with you coming and, now don't come with guns blazing, call me an idiot and you moron, and you come in the right approach and say, Pastor, I got a question about this. Let's talk about it. But if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to apologize and correct it if I'm wrong in the teaching of the Word of God. But there are some churches, it don't matter what the pastor says, it's the gospel, because they view him almost popish. There's also churches where either the pastor or leadership within the church are dictators, not just that whatever they say goes in the church. Listen, I've seen churches where Now, I don't know of any Baptist churches that have done this, but I've seen churches where I had a girl that was working for me at UPS, and she had gotten a job offer like in Washington, D.C., and her church said, "You're not taking the job because you're not leaving this church. We're the spiritual authority in your life, and we're not granting you that permission." Now, I don't see anywhere in Scripture that I have that authority in anyone's life. I have a hard enough time running my own life. Amen. So I don't want to try to run your life. I can run mine in the ground just very well without trying to run yours in the ground. I don't need to do that. And that's not the role of pastor elder. We're to oversee, to shepherd, to give guidance, direction, correction, all of these things to the church. But we're not to dictate the church. The pastor elder authority is not something to be lorded over the church. Rather, they are to be examples of truth, love, and godliness for God's flock to follow. Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, said, "Let no one despise your youth." But here's the key to this. But be an example. Be an example. That's what he's telling Timothy. That's what he's telling this young preacher. Don't worry about it. They may not look to you. They may not have the respect that you'd like to have as a young pastor. But you be an example to the believers. In what? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Man, that's a heavy responsibility that John and I and Pastor Aaron that we bear. That's a heavy responsibility to lead in that way, to lead by being examples. You won't see me out in the restaurant with a cold drink, or let me rephrase that, with a beer. Now y'all know I don't drink anyway. I think y'all pretty well know that. I'm a teetotaler. I don't think a Christian should drink. But you're not going to see me ever out. Even if I did, if I had a drink at home, you wouldn't see me out with one, because someone may see that and misinterpret that. It may give the appearance of evil. There's so many reasons that I won't do that, because I want to be an example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And I wish I could say I was really good in any one of those. I'd really love to say that. I don't know that I can say that. I don't know that I'm really good in any of those, but I want to be good in those. And I want to continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to be the best pastor and the best shepherd I can be, and be the best example that I can be. I want to live my life in that way. And I know our guys want to do the same thing. Number four, guard the doctrine of the church. Here's our responsibility. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. We're to hold fast to the word of God that has been taught. And we are to hold fast and true to that word, that he may be able by sound doctrine or sound teaching both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So the teaching of the apostles was to be committed to faithful men who would teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul's writing to Timothy, "I took the word of God that I've learned, that God gave me. I've taught you, Timothy, the word of God. I've taught you that word. Now, Timothy, you're to teach other men. You're to prepare other men." And you know what I see? We see our men growing in our church. In the 8 years I've been here, we see young men that have grown in their faith. We see men that are stepping up and leading our men's ministry, our ladies' ministry. Both of those are pouring into our ladies and our men, and seeing those groups grow, seeing new opportunities for individuals to lead in those areas. It's just amazing to watch as people continue to grow. Look, we're growing wider and wider, but we're growing deeper and deeper, and we want to continue to do that. And I'm just thankful for what God's doing in that. But we're to hold to the doctrine of the truth of the Word of God and be faithful to that. So preserving the integrity of the gospel is one of the elders, pastor and elders' highest callings. So from the Scriptures, we learn that pastor elders are to study, 2 Timothy 2:15, we're to study the Word of God, we're to pray, we're to lead by example, we're to take heed to themselves. I am to look, I'm going to stand up here and preach to you. I've got to live it too. I got to live the Word of God too. I got to be faithful to the Word of God. I've got to take heed of myself. I got to take heed unto the doctrine. I've got to preach the Word. I'm going to rebuke, reprove, and exhort. I got to do the work of an evangelist. And I got to pass on the glorious gospel of Christ to a future generation of preachers. And then also, sometimes we as elders, we get called to join a sick person when we're called for, so that we can pray for that healing of that person. It's another responsibility that we have as elders. So that's kind of the responsibilities that we as elders have: to oversee the church, to rule the church, to feed the church, and guard the doctrine of the church. And then there's qualifications for elders, and we're not going to dig deep into this. We're almost out of time, but I would say this: look, if you want to study this deeper, I spent 3 weeks. You can go back onto YouTube. I assume we have this on Facebook as well. YouTube or Facebook, go back and search. And it was the end of September, first part of October last year. I preached, I think it was 3 weeks, a series on elders. So if you want to know deeper on this, the roles of elders, the qualifications, all of that stuff, then go and you can listen to those sermons and get more information on that. So qualifications for elders found in a couple of places, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. And I'm just going to kind of read through this and then we'll be finished this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. This is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, elder, let me say it again, elder, overseer, pastor, shepherd, that position, he desires a good work. Now, it's not just about a desire to serve, okay? So just because someone desires to serve doesn't mean that they're qualified to serve. Just because someone desires that doesn't mean they're equipped to serve. It doesn't mean they're called to that. Someone could have a desire for that. So there are qualifications that must be met as well as the desire. Verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless. Now, blameless doesn't mean sinless, it means above reproach. The husband of one wife. So that indicates the husband of one wife. It indicates this: for a key qualification for pastor, elder, you must be a man. Okay? All right, so there's a big debate today on whether women can pastor, whether they can be pastors. The scripture is very clear right here. If you can show me a woman who can be the husband to one man, biblically speaking, not with the changed terminology of today's woke culture, but according to the Word of God and God's plan, then they could be a pastor. But here's what I would say to a lady who says, I believe God's called me to be a pastor. And I would say, here's where you're wrong. Because if God wanted you to be a pastor, God would have made you a man. And he could have done that. So it's not his plan. And it doesn't make a woman inferior to a man that she can't pastor. It's differences of roles. It's not that men are better, okay? It's none of this. We are here. But there are differences in roles and responsibilities. Husband of one wife, it means a faithful to one woman man. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Able to teach. We had someone years ago who wanted to lead. We were going to hire a middle school pastor. We're going to hire a middle school pastor. And here's what he wanted to do. He wanted the job as middle school pastor. But here's how he was going to run the ministry. He was going to have everybody else do all the teaching. He was going to run the sound booth. He was basically run the sound. So Ryan, you're the pastor, man. You're now the pastor, running it all from back there. And so I think the idea was, I'm the puppet master, and I'll pick who's going to preach this week and what games they're going to play. I'll just coordinate everything. But he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to have to open his mouth or say anything or be in the front. And that's not, look, number one right there, you got to be able to teach. You got to be apt to teach, able to teach. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. You know, that's the idea of, they're not unruly. They're submissive. They're under his authority. They're not just running wild. They're not rebellious. You get the idea there? I had someone recently. We found out they believe that if a man did not have children, if all his children were not saved, he wasn't qualified to be an elder. That's what he got from that right there. I don't see it. I'd like somebody to help me to see it, because I don't see it. says the children in submission with all reverence. So the children have respect for their father, for the man in the home. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he be able to take care of the church of God? Number six there, verse six, not a novice. Again, someone who's new to the faith, someone who's who should not be. That's what that means, novice. They're not experienced, they're not mature, they should not be an elder. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Titus chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, actually reading 5 through 9. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. So Paul sent Titus there, and he put him there to set in order those things, to establish those churches and to put elders into place to lead those churches. And again, he gives the requirements there in Titus 1, verse 6 here. It says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word that he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So there you have the qualifications. There you have the responsibilities of pastors, elders in the church. So I hope that has given us some clear direction then on the roles within the church. And now, so next week, we will begin our journey looking at the responsibilities of members. And when I talk about members, that's all of us. That's me as pastor. That's the person who just joined, the last person that joined, the youngest member, all the way to the oldest member. If you're a member of the body, the local body, then we're going to talk about the requirements. What are responsibilities that we bear as members of the local church? And that's what we're looking at next week. So, Pastor Aaron, I'm going to have you just stay where you're at. We're going to close in prayer this morning. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be down front. If you have something you need prayer about, I'm going to invite you to come down, but other than that, we're going to wrap the service right here, okay? And I don't do this often. I always have an invitation. This morning, the invitation is, I'm going to be here. If you got something you need to pray about, you want me to pray with you, you want somebody else to pray with you, you need some counsel, and if you want to pray, you can come to this altar between the services when we dismiss here in a moment. But we're going to do it a little different this morning, okay? So, Father, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for how you have expressed that love, and that you sent your Son Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no denying the love that you have for us. You have made that crystal clear. Lord, I pray there's not a person in this room this morning who would say, well, God doesn't love me. I just see in my life the things that have gone on or what's happened that God doesn't love me. Folks, understand that Jesus Christ died for you. There is no greater way he could express his love for you than to die in your place, to take the penalty of your death that you deserve. He's taken your place. He's shed his blood to cover your sin. And he calls you today to repentance and faith. And maybe this morning you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, and you'd say, preacher, I've not trusted Jesus. I never have. But he's speaking to my heart. I understand this morning that I'm lost and I need to be saved. I'd invite you to come down in a moment. We're going to dismiss. I'm going to be standing right here. Just come and say, preacher, I need to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you this morning and tell you more about Jesus and how you can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. Lord, thank you for this group of people, and thank you for our fathers this morning. I pray that you'll bless and work and move in every heart and every life. Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, may we be faithful to you. May we be obedient to you in every area of our life. Help us, Lord, to grow, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.